So picture this. You're at your favorite holiday meal and you're sitting next to Aunt Karen. And Aunt Karen decides to make some comments to you about your plate and even maybe about how you look, especially in comparison to maybe what she acknowledged last holiday, last year. How does that make you feel? Pretty triggered? Rachel Fine, registered dietitian, nutritionist, and specialist in all things helping dancers to build a supportive relationship with both their plate and their body. In this video, we're going to be talking about how to navigate the inevitable, comments from others surrounding our food choices and our body. With the holidays right around the corner, I couldn't think of a more important topic to discuss than the one of diet talk, or the comments that we might receive or overhear, especially how they relate to food choices, dieting behaviors, clean eating behaviors, and of course, body composition changes. Now, when it comes to triggering commentary, anything can technically be triggering for any one individual dancer. So it's hard to specifically narrow down what triggering comments are versus those that are not triggering. But what do I mean when I'm talking about triggering comments? Usually, a triggering comment is something that causes you to feel a lot of self-doubt. This can be overwhelming self-doubt, or maybe it's not. Maybe it's just causing you to quickly second guess the choices that you're making or the emotions that you're feeling, especially as they relate to your body image. A comment like, "You're eating that much tonight?" Or, "Did you gain some pounds since the last time I saw you?" Or maybe it's like, "You've lost some weight, haven't you?" Any comment can be triggering for a dancer. I find this especially common for dancers who are already well into their journey of building more sustainable habits around food. So perhaps they've learned a bunch from within my program, The Healthy Dancer, and they're already making major strides towards removing restrictive food rules from their daily choices and also nourishing their body with enough food throughout the day. Because diet and even wellness culture are so prevalent in our day-to-day lives, any paradigm that challenges the mainstream thought of, as just an example, clean eating as healthy habits is going to spark criticism. Now, you know, from watching my videos or finding my other resources on dancenutrition.com, that clean eating happens to be a very unsupportive lifestyle because of how restrictive it is. For someone who's not yet quite familiar with the work of dismantling diet culture and the messages we receive from diet and wellness culture, the idea of clean foods or clean eating being an unhealthy or unsupportive lifestyle can sound extremely nuanced and, well, just out of the ordinary. As I mentioned earlier, diet and wellness culture combined make up a net worth of a multi-trillion-dollar industry. As you begin to build confidence around this newfound approach where you are building more sustainable habits around food, omitting those restrictive food rules, and learning how to nourish your body sufficiently throughout the day, it's also important to learn how to respond to situations where others around you might not be as familiar with this newfound approach. This is also a major struggle for dancers who are coming from a history of restrictive eating habits. Perhaps you've previously been identified as the healthy one by your family or by friends. As you work to shift that identity for yourself, it can be extremely challenging and even triggering for others around you to bring up either past scenarios where maybe they remember you as having specific eating habits during previous instances, or perhaps they've just developed their own image of what they consider to be the classic dancer's diet. Maybe that's just from previous messages that they've seen or just stereotypical stigmas surrounding dancers in general. Whatever it might be, their comments could be quite triggering, and we need to know how to navigate them. Family dynamics and close friendships make it even more challenging to navigate through food and body comments. But here's the thing, it's out of your immediate control to be able to prevent any one person from either saying something or even from thinking something or having an opinion about something, such as an opinion about what is healthy or an opinion about what a dancer should be eating. See, it is not in your immediate control to change anyone's opinions, but we can definitely equip ourselves to help navigate through those instances so that feelings of self-doubt don't cause us to either regress in this work or just plain old feel bad about ourselves. So let's dive into 5 specific steps for how you can navigate through triggering comments, especially as they relate to your food choices and body. The first is to simply acknowledge your awareness. To be able to decipher between unhelpful thoughts versus those that are more supportive is an incredibly large step in your journey towards building sustainable habits around food. This also comes into play with the comments that we hear from others. The bottom line, we want to be able to identify harmful and unsupportive commentary. This is the first step within the healthy dancer, and I call it dismantling dancer diet culture. In fact, we devote several months to this work within my program, but the truth is, unlearning those unhelpful and unsupportive messages from diet and wellness culture is an ongoing journey. It's not something that we learn and then check off the to-do list. Be proud of yourself, because if you've come this far in the video, then you are likely able to identify comments that perpetuate oppressive values from diet and wellness culture. But don't let your guard down. Keep up the work of unlearning. This is where turning to credible resources such as everything I put out on dancenutrition.com can be super helpful. Another tip would be to do a media detox where you make sure you're following credible sources, dietitians, especially those well-versed in paradigms like intuitive eating and health at every size. This will also better help you to develop that shield, that guard against those unhelpful messages so that you are better able to compartmentalize the unsupportive thoughts or comments and the supportive thoughts or comments. The next step, and this is gonna be one that we're gonna also need to do before we're at the dinner table, that's to shift our personal self-talk. And it comes alongside that work of unlearning those harmful messages. Consider a few prompts. Do you feel discouraged when you are surrounded by critical talk, especially as it relates to food and body? No matter how long you've been working on building more supportive habits around food, whether it's days, months, years, whatever it might be, any instance where we're subscribing to diet and wellness culture can make it extremely difficult to move away from it. So this could be an instance like wanting to healthify a nostalgic recipe. Really question the reasoning why you feel the need to do that. There is nothing inherently wrong about wanting to boost the nutrient density of any recipe. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we are also able to eat and include the real deal versions if and when they present themselves to us. If your self-talk is still rooted heavily in that mindset of clean eating or to stick with an identity that might have been put forth by either a previous version of you when you were partaking in disordered eating habits, or maybe put forth by someone else around you, then realize that those thoughts and desires might still be a reflection of needing to strive for control and even comfort. Because to an extent, subscribing to diet and wellness culture might feel more comfortable for a dancer than challenging those very cultures. But at the end of the day, diet and wellness cultures and the messages they put forth are extremely oppressive, unsupportive, and risking burnout and injury for any dancer. So utilize compassionate curiosity. When you're struggling with self-talk that's causing you to feel a lot of self-doubt in the work of moving away from diet and wellness culture, start to identify if patterns exist. Are these thoughts coming about during certain times of the day, of the week, of the year? Maybe it's when you're with certain people. Are there specific triggers to your personal self-doubt? Remember, for anyone, thoughts about restrictive eating and or wanting to utilize food to manipulate our body's weight, shape, or size, they're not gonna disappear overnight. In fact, For many, they might not ever disappear. It's just a matter of, again, going back to what I mentioned earlier, compartmentalizing what's actually going to support us and what's not. Remember, restrictive eating habits or trying to utilize food as this immediate source of control to manipulate your body's weight, shape, or size will likely lead to negative consequences. We know that 98% of the time, restrictive dieting fails. Essentially, what this means is that the dieter is unable to stick to that restricted regimen for a long period of time. We also know that there are a ton of misconceptions surrounding a lot of nutrition information, specifically in regard to sugar, in regard to fat, even in regard to protein, these major macronutrients that support our body. So start to read up how you can, again, unlearn those harmful messages and replace them with more helpful ones. This will help you to replace your self-talk so that when those feelings of self-doubt come about, we can start to challenge them and conceptualize a more helpful approach. Now let's get down to what actually happens at the table. So first things first, I want you to consider a route of empathy, but this doesn't mean that we're not holding boundaries. For many of us, it's not easy to refrain from conversations that center around diets, food, and even body image, especially when we are so involved in this work and it means so much to us. First things first, while remaining empathetic to those who you are speaking to, try to set boundaries for the safety of your own mindset. Let's talk about a specific example. Let's just say you're about to serve yourself some creamy mashed potatoes. The person next to you passes a comment, something like, "Oh, you sure you really want to eat those? They look really heavy." How can you respond to that person? Well, first things first, consider a bit of empathy. Remember, that person next to you might not have yet been introduced to this idea that the messages from diet and wellness culture that have been put forth to us every single day are actually super unhelpful. So we can empathize with the lack of knowledge in this instance. From there, we can set a boundary. I know your intentions mean well, but I've been learning how to make choices that make me feel good not only physically, but also mentally. I know it sounds super nuanced, but it's been really cool and it's been helping my relationship with food. It's just an example. When it comes to setting boundaries, it's very likely that you're gonna have to remind those you're with about those boundaries. And it's also very likely that the boundaries you set are gonna have to be made way more clear. I've experienced this on a personal level. I have family members who definitely subscribe to clean eating lifestyles, and I know from personal experience, and you might know this about me because I've opened up about it both on my blog and of course in other videos, but I do everything I can to educate about the harms of clean eating because I too felt vulnerable to that lifestyle when I was dancing full time, and it only led me to burnout and injury. So now that I'm raising my children, I sometimes have to call family members ahead of time and explain to them that in my household, we don't label foods as good, bad, healthy, or unhealthy, that all foods are on the same playing field. Maybe not from a nutritional perspective, but definitely from a moral perspective. Essentially what this means is some foods can be more nutrient dense than others, but my children, myself, anyone in my family, we are not bad for choosing some foods or even good for choosing other foods. Our moral value does not relate to our food choices. So my point is that sometimes you setting a boundary might have to happen elsewhere, not specifically at the dinner table. You also might feel more comfortable doing that elsewhere, not in front of others. Maybe you do have a family member that you feel a little bit nervous about passing some comments. It could be worth giving them a call, sending them an email, or maybe even sending a text about some of the work you're doing to build more support habits around both your plate and your body, and you would appreciate it if comments were not made during your time together. Within that same conversation, you may also want to back yourself up with some resources. Encourage that they too start to consider this really nuanced approach of challenging these messages that have been so seeped within our culture and that have maybe led you to a very unsupportive relationship in your food choices. Just an FYI, the more diet-free allies you and I have, the better and the easier this work becomes. Next thing to consider at the moment, determine if the conversation is worth your energy. I can't stress this enough, but it is not your job to change anyone's opinions about what habits around food are healthier or more supportive than others. Sometimes that conversation, it's just not worth the energy, especially if you personally are not really looking to spend your time with friends and family arguing or trying to convince others about the harms of utilizing food as a tool to manipulate our bodies. If conversations about food and or body weight or dieting do spark a lot of stress and anxiety for you, then it may not be time for you to partake in those conversations. And instead, we might need to consider some other routes. First things first, try to change the topic of conversation. If someone brings up the reason for why they're avoiding any one specific food on the table because they don't want to eat a quote unquote unhealthy option, or they're starting a new diet plan, whatever it might be, change the subject. Did you hear about that new movie came out? Yeah, I really want to see it. I'm curious what the reviews are. That's just one example. Or, we started Nutcracker rehearsals. I'm so excited about the performances this year. Anything, change the topic of conversation. You'd be surprised how well that works. Another option, opt out with pure honesty and utilize a little bit of empathy while you're there. I completely understand your perspective, but when I view foods as being good or bad, I tend to feel a lot of food guilt after eating, and it just turns the meal into something that's so not fun for me. So maybe we can switch the topic. Another option, exit. Go take a bathroom break, go fix your hair, go check your phone. Whatever you need to exit the situation, you are totally okay to do that. Now, if you're up for that conversation and you feel like you're ready to explain to those critics why you're choosing to reject behaviors that are centered around dieting or clean eating, that's amazing. I'm learning how to best make food choices that support my body. I want to choose foods that are gonna nourish me and energize me. I'm also trying to work on honoring my cravings and alleviating those feelings of food guilt afterwards. It's a really interesting approach, and I encourage that you go check out Dietitian XYZ to get the process started for yourself. Hint, that's when you can give them my information. Another example, I'm learning to build confidence with my food choices, from veggies to dessert. It's really helping me not only tune into what my body needs at any given moment, but also to eat in a way that's more mindful, in a way that I'm able to really tune into my fullness and satisfaction cues. Honestly, it's intriguing. You should try it. And then finally, within this work, consider the need to take a social break. There's no doubt that food and body comments not only happen at our dinner tables, at our holiday tables, but on a day-to-day basis from what we are exposed to on social media. There is so much emerging research that associates our use of social media with our mindset. And disordered eating and a negative body image are very much part of it. Even just hearing a commercial about a common diet can cause a lot of self-doubt for dancers who are well into their journey of healing their relationship with food. Reducing and, if possible, though I know it can be challenging in today's day, eliminating your use of social media might be helpful, especially during times where you notice that self-doubt is heightened. And then last, continue to seek support, continuing the work of unlearning those unhelpful messages so that you can identify them at the table is incredibly important. This will also help to build your own confidence and competence to sharing the information with others and providing them with the referrals they need to shift away from the dieting mentality to more supportive habits around food. I give a ton of additional examples of how you can navigate triggering commentary as it relates to food and body image on my blog. Definitely check out that article and build your personal arsenal of commentary, one that you can rely on in those instances. So whether you are up for the conversation or perhaps looking to just set a boundary and exit, you are well prepared for the inevitable, which is the exposure to triggering commentary.